Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So on Tuesday, we asked you to post your one word of advice to seniors graduating from college this month. 265 of you took part, writing down 165 discrete words. We've worked up a word cloud of your responses on our website. That means you can see the words both in alphabetical order and in different sizes according to the number of times the word came up. So the one word of advice most commonly offered, you'll see it as the biggest word on the page, was travel. Seven of you gave travel as your one word of advice to graduating seniors. After that, by the way, came the words patience and vote, tied for second place. And we had a couple of people, two people who put in the word strategery. So check out the word cloud at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. It's right on the front of our page. And we'll take you up on your advice. Let's talk about travel for graduating seniors and for anyone else trying to escape this summer despite $4 gasoline, the weak dollar, and the general ridiculousness of flying. Wendy Perrin is back with us, consumer news editor for Condé Nast Traveler. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, great to be here.
And we have open lines to talk to Wendy about traveling in the era of the weak dollar, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or to talk about the trip you took right after graduating college, 212-433-9692. Wendy, did you do that when you graduated?
You know, I actually traveled a lot during my summers when I was still in college. I remember doing a whole grand tour of Europe, traveling around the United States a lot. And then, of course, I've been traveling for work so much ever since. I happened to, you know, start work at a magazine where it sends me traveling a lot. So I feel like I've had my fair share.
I guess so. You really took the advice.
I guess I did.
So, and you didn't manipulate the word cloud, did you? So that travel would be the biggest and boldest word?
I wouldn't know how to begin to do that.
So say I am a recent college graduate or just someone who doesn't want to spend a lot of money or, you know, is fearful of the prohibitive exchange rate and gasoline prices, but I want to see something of the world. Are there certain countries where the dollar holds up relatively well right now?
Yes, there actually are. One place you might think about is Central America. Countries like Costa Rica, Panama, and Ecuador, because Ecuador has a dollar-based economy, and the dollar has gained against both the Costa Rican and Panamanian currencies. So that's an idea. If you're thinking about Europe, you might want to consider Eastern European countries, Croatia, Turkey, countries that have not not adapted the euro yet. And so, those non-euro countries are on the cheaper side. You know, it depends on where you want to go in the world. Right now, actually, there are some really great deals in the Middle East, in Egypt, Syria, Jordan. If you want to go to Asia, probably the cheapest countries right now are Cambodia, Vietnam, and Laos.
How about that? And those are interesting places to go right now, the Southeast Asian countries. And Central America is interesting. And in South America, you mentioned Ecuador. I went to Costa Rica and El Salvador.
And did you find Costa Rica? You got your dollar stretched pretty far?
Very, very good buy, yes.
Yeah,
and
right.
I did not take one of the organized Eco Tours. We booked it ourselves.
Good for you.
And, you know, it was so much cheaper that way, so much.
Sure, sure.
So, and here's a post from our webpage that says, Mexico is still a very affordable destination for Americans, as is most of Latin America. The airfare can be pricey, but beyond that, eating and accommodations, not five-star, are very cheap. Why not see some of the wonders of the world like Machu Picchu?
Yep, and also Canada. I mean, yes, the U.S. dollar has lost against the Canadian dollar recently, but it's still an affordable foreign country. And, of course, in summertime, there's a ton of wonderful outdoorsy things to do in Canada.
And on the question of this advice, do American students or recent college graduates travel as much as their counterparts in other countries these days?
I don't think so at all. I mean, you know, I think there are a lot of countries out there, too, that spring to mind are Australia and New Zealand, where there's really this culture of, you know, you get out of school and you travel the world for a year. And it just opens your mind to other cultures, which, I mean, what could be more important than that, you know, especially in this global economy and this global world that we're living in. I feel as though a lot of European and other countries, they send their kids out to do this, and I don't think there's that same sense in America at all.
Really? And do you think then that it's gone downhill? Because I feel like when I graduated college, that was the thing to do. People were putting their backpacks on and going to Europe and not even being sure where they would stay, or, you know, getting in their jalopies and going cross country. So do you think that it's diminished over time as a thing to do when you graduate? Or are college students now just so career focused and serious minded? Or I don't know. Or maybe, you know, maybe I was just in a bizarre crowd. Well,
no,
I mean, definitely, but besides that.
Well, no, you've heard a lot about the baby boomers who used to sort of go backpacking for a year before starting out on their lives. And I don't know. I haven't seen the statistics, but I just have this sense that a lot of people are worried about, you know, the economy, and, you know, they want to sort of, they graduate from college and they feel like they need to sort of get their foot into the working world. And also the problem is we have such a low rate of people with passports. I mean, compared to other countries, you know, so that's an issue that just not a lot of Americans have passports, relatively speaking.
Well, soon we're all going to need passports if we want to vote. So that'll be an incentive. Nick in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC with Wendy Perrin. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right.
I'm traveling to Greece in a week for a week-long study abroad course from Pace University.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that got me the most was our instructions from our professor to bring twice of what you normally would bring for kipping. Because of the weak dollar and the strong euro, you know, he said if you're going to bring $100 worth of tips for, you know, food and drink out at night, make that $200. You know, and if you're planning on going out to dinner, you know, it's going to be $70, not $35.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are discouraged from traveling abroad now.
So, Nick, stay here for a second. And, Wendy, maybe you can help Nick to make that $70 spend more like the $35 that it would here.
Well, yes, Greece, certainly the dollar has lost a lot in Greece because it's now on the euro, Greece is. But there are still, I mean, I'm not sure where you're going in Greece, but certainly if you're in the big cities or the really touristy areas, yes, you're going to need to spend more money. But actually, I think there are a lot of little Greek islands where the prices have not risen so much, and you can still find, you know, if you eat where the locals eat and you shop where the locals shop and you take the transportation the locals are taking, the public ferries, that's the way I like to travel just because it's sort of more authentic. I love to shop at the outdoor food markets where the locals are buying their provisions and then you make a picnic out of it. And you know, a lot of Europeans, the move to the euro has, life has become unaffordable for a lot of Europeans as well, but they've managed to make it work. And I find that if you eat where they eat and stay where they stay, it's not that bad, especially compared to New York. But we already have kind of inflated prices here in the New York area.
And you've said, and so Nick, good luck out there. Have fun. And, you know, it's hard for him because he's with a group.
Right, right. And I don't know what the whole tipping policy, you know, I don't know too much about that particular.
Now, you said off the air earlier that when Americans travel, we tend to spend more money than our British or German counterparts on the road. What's that all about?
Well, Americans are just known around the world in the travel industry for having a higher level of comfort. Like when it's an American traveling, you need a certain standard of comfort that's higher than what the Brits or the Germans, for instance, are willing to put up with. You'd have to have ice cubes in your drink. You have to have air conditioning in your room. You have to have a certain thread count of sheets. And so, you know, a lot of travel companies that are selling to Americans, a lot of tour operators, travel agents, they're assuming, you know, they're going to put you automatically in a 4 or 5 star hotel. They just think, oh, no American is even going to could stand a 3 star hotel. Personally, I have no problem with 3 star hotels. I've stayed in them in Greece. I've stayed in them in Turkey. I've had no problem. So I think, you know, that's one thing that I think a lot of Americans are doing who are traveling to Euro-based countries right now. They're decreasing the accommodation level, and that's how they're able to afford the trip.
Wendy Perrin, consumer news editor for Condé Nast Traveler, with us on WNYC, and Zara on the Upper West Side. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
My comment is basically just about the remark that Australian, European, New Zealander students travel a lot more than American students do. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they pay a lot less for college and graduate school than we do. So American students are coming out of school with a lot of debt. It makes it difficult to take a lot of these extravagant trips. I did a trip in college when the dollar was doing a lot better against the euro, and, you know, I didn't stay in the fancy accommodations. I hosteled it up with four of my friends and a lot of, you know, other European students, and that was fine. But now I'm planning my bar trip, and it's a very different story.
You're what?
I'm planning my post-bar exam.
Oh, post-bar exam, and because now you have a lot of law school debt.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the 1 year won't make a difference, right? I mean, you don't have to pay back your debt starting in September, do you, if you wanted to travel?
No, but it's just, you know, even if you are in deferment, you don't want to rack up credit card debt,
right,
you know, for purchases and things like that.
Right. And I guess people who have to borrow to go to school or are already living closer to the vest may not have as much savings, as much flexibility. And that is a big issue today compared to a decade or two ago.
Right. I can totally see that.
Now, Walter in Marlboro has a graduating senior son who is taking our listeners' advice. Hi, Walter. Walter, are you there? Okay, we'll get back to Walter. So we talked about traveling like a Brit or a German. Can you learn anything from the locals?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I always like to sort of travel, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I mean, when you're traveling, try to do as the locals do. Take the transportation they're taking, the trains, the buses, you know, a rental car. Now, that's the kind of thing that will blow your budget in a lot of European countries these days. So just take the trains. You know, and there are all kinds of passes, train passes that you can get through Eurail or through just in different localities. For instance, if you're in the Munich, Germany area, you can buy a train pass that will work on the train from the Munich airport into town and then transportation around Germany. So look into those things. Also, a lot of tourist boards have these visitor passes that allow you into a certain, you know, all the museums you can possibly visit and at no cost or a cheap cost. There are all kinds of deals that tourist boards offer.
Eric in Englewood Cliffs, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Yeah, when I graduated from college, I went to Europe for 6 weeks, and it was just, I definitely noticed it was expensive, but I think if you are willing to sacrifice, you know, some of our American pleasures, I guess, you know, or some of our, you know, our air conditioning, you stay in a hostel, you can actually, you know, make it pretty cheap. If you go to, we also tried to go to a lot of supermarkets to get our food and make sandwiches for the day, you know, instead
as opposed to restaurants.
Yeah, like on occasion, we, you know, we'd spoil ourselves, get a nice Italian meal with a bottle of wine or whatever, but, you know, for the most part, we would try to, you know, keep it budgeted, you know, and I'm actually going to, going to graduate school in the fall, and I'm leaving for India in the week.
All right.
Travel before I leave, and that's definitely going to be much more affordable than Europe would was, you know.
Right. And also, you know, it's not, for those people who have a little bit more of a budget than where they don't have to go to supermarkets for every meal, it's still possible. Like in Italy, in Spain, in a lot of Mediterranean countries, if you go into a sit-down restaurant with waiter service, it can cost a lot. But if you're willing to kind of stand, like if you go to the tapas bar and you kind of stand and eat, or in Italy, if you go to the Enoteca, to the when you order a glass of wine, you stand, you have hors d'oeuvres, that's a cheap way of eating delicious food. You don't have the sit-down waiter service.
And it almost gets to the difference between travel and vacation. You know, there is a distinction, and I think that the kind of typical American idea of a vacation is the time when you take time out of your hardworking life and pamper yourself for a week, right? To go to a hotel where, you know, you're going to live as if you were in another income bracket for a short period of time, and then you go back to your regular life. But I don't think that that's what our listeners had in mind when they advised college graduating seniors to travel. I think it was more about having experiences. And to have the experiences, you don't necessarily have to be pampered.
And preparing yourselves for a global economy as well, I think, where just having that knowledge of the rest of the world is so vital to a lot of fields. You know, another reason I think a lot of Americans don't travel as much is simply that we don't have the vacation time. We get 2 weeks of vacation per year, as opposed to a lot of nationalities that get eight weeks of vacation per year.
And try to ever take 2 weeks all together.
Yeah, right.
Right? And you'll be considered some kind of a slacker.
Yeah, people are worried about losing their jobs.
We got a LA Times article here reprinted in AM New York that says savvy flyers find deals as low as $36. How do you get the best deal? This is let's see, tells a story here of Gilda Chavez Diaz, who flew home to Fort Lauderdale, Florida last week. The cost of the round trip from LA, $18. And she says
What airline did she fly?
She rode Spirit Airlines, mm-hmm. a ultra low cost carrier which offered a promotion. And so, you know, it says airlines are hiking fares unlike ever before, but bargain hunters say airfare deals still abound, largely in the domestic scene because of new entrants to the market and added flights along the West Coast.
I'm a little wary of some of those new entrants and some of the, not necessarily the new entrants so much as the smaller airlines. Let's keep in mind that about six U.S. airlines have gone bankrupt and gone under within the past couple of months.
Yes. So, as long as they go under without going down, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right. But it does bring up a very important point, which is there are a lot of low-fare airlines all over the world that people might not know about. You know, if let's say you are going to Europe, or you're going to Asia, and, you know, if you go into the airline reservation systems here, you will not necessarily get the best fare. It makes a lot of sense to combine a ticket to London with or another international
right.
hub airport with a ticket elsewhere.
And we're out of time, but Phoebe in New Jersey posts on our comments page, and for travel within Europe, don't forget the low-cost airlines there, Ryanair, EasyJet, BMI Baby, where you can get tickets for 2 cents plus taxes if you're flexible with timing. Wendy Perrin from Condé Nast Traveler, their consumer news editor. We'll see you again next Thursday as we continue this month-long series in May, Unraveling Traveling.
Excellent. Can't wait.
And everybody, if you want to check out that word cloud, where 265 of you contributed one word of advice to graduating seniors and travel came out number one, just check our WNYC.org Brian Lehrer Show page today. It's a fun thing to look at. Stay with us.